The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
In questions, even as we head into winter, I'm joined this week by Paul Smith, head gardener of RHSI Belfield in Shannon, County Offaly, and co-host with Jeremy Gavin of the gardening podcast Dirt. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, some of the questions, and they're coming in thick and fast.
Yep.
Box hedging, which we sowed in May 2023, is demonstrating a rust colour. It's been fed and sprayed for blight over the summer. Any advice on why this colour is there and can it be remedied?
So that's probably just stress. Newly planted box will do that quite regularly. It'll get a little bit stressed. It'll take on browny, kind of orangey colours even. We're coming into a colder period as well, so it'll even do it more. I would say hold out, continue the feeding. There are caterpillars and other things affecting box, but I think the big thing is it's just under a bit of stress and it takes time.
But box grows and is trimmed. It's often the subject of topiary.
Oh, absolutely.
So therefore it does grow and grow and grow.
Yeah, it will continue to. So once it gets going, it should be fine. So persist, I would say, with that.
Okay, another one here now. My screen jumped there for a moment. We've just finished a house renovation in Dublin on the north side. Is it too late to plant up the garden with plants and trees, or should we just concentrate on getting the trees in, or should we be waiting until spring? If so, when is the earliest we could plant up?
Great question, because it is, you know, that absolute opportune moment now, between now and March, to sort of do your planting. And this is a perfect time to look at trees.
Yeah.
I always start with the biggest things in a garden and work my way down. So trees, shrubs and kind of the larger things.
So you're buying a tree in a garden centre and it will be bare.
It'll be bare.
There'll be a root ball.
Yes. Yeah. And it may come in a pot. It may even be a root ball, depending where you buy it from. The invention of plastic has meant that we can actually sow a plant nearly every single day of the year, as long as the ground conditions allow. The moment is perfect. We haven't had rain hardly for the last month or so. So, you know, it's lovely and dry. Nice, perfect time to do it. I would say go out and plant those trees now. Possibly wait until spring to sow your lawn, because the temperatures are slowly dropping. And I sowed a bit of lawn seed about a week ago and I'm already regretting doing it, because as soon as I did it, the temperatures went down. So I would say hold out on your lawn and your kind of smaller things, but the trees and shrubs, perfect timing.
This one. I got a new oil boiler over a year ago, which necessitated repositioning the exit exhaust pipe, which now spews those fumes on my apple trees. I've been reluctant to use those apples. Is there any solution? That's from Anne.
Yeah, we were just chatting about this. Where I work, there's a boiler that spews out into one of the backyards. Now, we have ornamental banana plants and they love a little bit of extra moisture. So I actually, not moisture, but heat. So I have them around there and they're fine.
And do you eat them?
Well, I don't eat them. You see, this is the thing. When it comes to eating them, I would be a little bit reluctant to do that. Just the fact that you have the boiler on most days, you don't know what else is there. Obviously, the carbon dioxide.
And do we know what can get through the skin of an apple or the skin of an ornamental banana?
Well, lots of things. I mean, when you think about the chemicals that they're used to transport them, ethylene, I think, is the main one when you open a container. I mean, they're used so much when you're transporting them across the world. If you open a container, I think, of fresh fruit and you walk into it, you'll actually pass out and die. They're used in that concentration and we're eating them, obviously, in much lower quantities. So they can retain a lot, but I would be just reluctant given the oil and the particulates or whatever's coming out of that boiler.
Now, another one about builders. They've just finished working on my house and my front lawn is no more. A typical three-bed semi-detached front garden. Is there any point in me trying to start to grow grass on it now, or should I wait until spring? Kind regards, Mike. You know the way, you don't want to leave it like muck for the winter.
No, and it depends on the size of it. Like, if it's a relatively small lawn, it may be worth looking at getting the roll-out turf that you can get.
And would that take, even in the cold weather?
It won't necessarily take, but it'll look green and fine. And as long as you don't walk on it and make much of it over the winter months, it'll be
fine.
And
would it die?
No. It'll sit there.
It'll just go dormant.
And it'll just won't do anything effectively. And it will begin to root then over the winter. And then as spring comes, it will start to look good. So I would say that's probably a reasonable option if you want it to look good.
If you want to tidy everything up in time for Christmas.
And want that looking good for Christmas. If not, you could wait until spring.
I want to trim an olive tree that has grown to 12 to 15 feet and nearly as wide. Any tips, please?
So definitely wait. Olive trees, I always tell people, think of where they come from. You know, they're from the Mediterranean, dry, you know, arid, totally different to what we have these foggy, damp mornings now. So wait until the temperatures begin to rise. They do really prefer to be pruned in high summer when there's a real bit of heat about and they can recover and cover those wounds up fast. So I would say wait until at least next March or April to do that. But you can go quite hard. Olive trees are one of those plants, you see them imported, old, ancient, mature specimens. They can be hacked to within an inch of their life and they will come back.
And they'll come back.
Yeah, they're very
good. And in this part of the world, are they fast growing?
Relatively, yeah. Up in Dublin, you know, in the confines of the city where it's that bit warmer, they are. And as long as they get a sunny, south-facing position, people plant them in shady spots and they go,
So you buy one that it looks like it's a bit of a scut of a thing,
yes,
and it will flourish?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, given the time and given the right position. It's all about putting it in the sunniest, nice, warmest part of the garden. Absolutely.
Wondering how to treat moss on tarmac.
That's a funny one, and it always comes up. There's various products out there. The one that everyone uses in their lawn is just sulfate of iron. But if you put that on your tarmac, you'll get a lovely orange rust on your tarmac, which is not what you want. There's various different products that basically turn the moss into compost, the moss. I can't think, they're not Mosco, they're the old ones that are long since banned. People also sometimes just dust a small bit of biological washing powder.
Yeah, that's what
that
we do.
That can work, yeah. And as long as you're, the main thing with it as well is constantly scraping it and, you know, moving it on and power hosing it probably once a year is also worth it.
Now, what about patio slabs that get kind of a gunge on them?
The algae. We have to, where I work, spray them at least twice a year. Not spray them, but power hose them.
But is there anything you can do to protect them, like some sealant?
There are various sealants depending on the material that they're made of. The sandstones in particular are more porous than others and they need it a little bit more regularly. So yes, the various suppliers of them will tell you what's best for the particular product. And the sealants do work and they help keep it clean.
We're looking at planting some trees to block out large agricultural sheds. The trees can be planted close to the sheds. Would you recommend any particular tree to plant?
Yeah, I was thinking of this and I mean, obviously evergreen trees are better for a situation like this. But one that sprung immediately to mind was birch trees for a few reasons. Birch trees are very fast growing. They're very relatively shallow rooted and they can be, and I've seen them planted close to buildings where they don't do huge amount of damage at all. But I would maybe intersperse them with a few things like very fast growing but very effective would be a eucalyptus. Eucalyptus gunnii, which is the most common one, the hardiest one.
And if they're up against
grow.
A shed, they won't be susceptible to the wind,
yes,
because they can be quite fragile.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So hopefully the wind or the shed will protect it from the wind and it'll keep it. So eucalyptus and birch, and that way you'll have a fair cover from the years ahead.
Ask Paul, is it possible to get input from a professional school to give advice reclaiming an old orchard, which is church parish property? There are trees there from the last century that need to be trimmed and old dead branches got rid of. I did get an estimate from a tree surgeon and it cost about 18 grand, the estimate. Is there anyone there who'd give us advice as a community project? In other words, they want to do it themselves, but with advice.
With advice. I mean, most landscapers, if you approach them, should have a fair knowledge of that.
And if they're community spirited.
Yes, they should be, you know, more than willing to give a bit of time. It's a relatively simple thing once you understand the very basics of pruning an apple tree. It's not rocket science. You know, once
I pruned one last year and I ended up with no fruit this year.
That's not
uncommon.
What did
I do wrong?
You probably went a little bit on the hard side, but all I would say is this year, go very lightly on it and you should have plenty of fruit this coming year. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And now a comment from one of the listeners, Mick. Any exhaust from an oil boiler should be just water vapour if the boiler is working correctly. There's nothing to worry about.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then that's... But I'm not a boiler expert. I'm a...
Yeah, I'm just wondering. Oil is... I mean, gas is much purer in a sense as a hydrocarbon, but oil, there can be all sorts of odds and sods in it. I wonder, you get sulfur dioxides and nitrogen oxides as well.
And particulates, I would have thought, depending on... Did they say it was oil?
And soot, yes.
Yeah.
So it's not enough maybe to wipe the apple.
Yeah.
Is it too late to cut the grass now?
No. I was out last night at about 5:30 as the dust or the sun was setting and it was pretty much dark in the fog cutting grass because I was one of my last opportunities to do it. Absolutely not. The grass has been growing at a remarkable rate given that it's now November.
And the temperature's only dropped in the last couple of days, really.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's been up. You know, last week was 17 degrees outside. It was remarkable. So it's absolutely no problem. As long as, again, the ground conditions are right, you can cut the grass right up to Christmas week and I've heard of people doing it. So carry on as long as it's growing.
Is it worth putting down weed killer this time of year?
No, waste of time.
Waste of time and money.
Unless the plants are actively growing, I don't like using it anyway, but if you're putting it down now, an absolute waste of time and money and everything. So do not until at least the spring.
I'm starting to grow herbs. Should I keep them inside in winter, in the kitchen, for example? Recommendations on what to do would be very welcome.
Depends on the herb. Again, looking at things like rosemary, obviously.
We have one of those in the garden.
And it thrives, I'm sure. Yes, no problem.
All year round.
Other things like oregano are a little bit more finicky. Mint is absolutely rampant. You don't need to worry about bringing
that.
Can't
stop it, in fact.
No, it's another problem. Basil and those more what I would call annual tender herbs, I would bring them in. But actually, look at the hardy herbs. If you just break it down and look at the ones that are hardy and not, most of the hardy ones I would just put near the back door in pots in a nice sunny spot and they should be fine.
Yeah, well, we're on the subject of veg and herbs and all the rest. Mm-hmm. I want to mention Peter Caviston, our local greengrocer and fishmonger, who got a Lifetime Achievement Award from Good Food Ireland, which is great. So congratulations to Peter if he's listening, which he normally does. How do I revive a cherry blossom bonsai tree? It's not looking very healthy right now.
Well, wouldn't be looking great this time of year anyway. Cherry blossoms, unfortunately, are relatively short-lived trees. You know, if it's
as trees,
around,
you mean even a big one that you have in the garden?
Even a large one in the garden, if they're 40, 50 years is their sort of average lifespan, which an awful lot of them as you drive around Dublin now are at that age. And also they're susceptible to a couple of different diseases, particularly a bacterial canker, which makes them ooze kind of like as if they're bleeding. So that's not a great one. I would say wait. The thing to do with them is when you're pruning any stone fruit, make sure you don't prune them at all in the winter time because that makes them much more susceptible to this. Prune all your stone fruit in actual May, June when they're actively growing. Only prune your apples and your pears now. Stone fruit, wait. So I would say wait if you're going any pruning and give it a bit of a feed and a mulch and hopefully a bit of a tonic and it'll boost it.
Well, Paul, that's all we have time for. But thank you very much for all your wisdom and your advice. That's Paul Smith, head gardener at RHSI Belfield in Shinrone, County Offaly, and co-host with Dermot Gavin of the gardening podcast Dirt.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.